It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
What'd you all think of that red wedding on Game of Thrones? How you doing, Will?
Remember a few weeks ago, I was talking about how I had so much hate, like how I had so much pent-up hate.
Yes.
For like this, you know, that my hate has been replaced by complete lust.
For your coworker?
Literally everyone. Literally everyone I see. Friends, podcast guests, waitresses at Sardo's. It's getting out of control, and I'm in trouble. That's why I'm going to drink heavily on my birthday.
But that's still weeks away. Until then, I fear you may assault someone.
Until then,
women stay clear.
Women stay away from me, because there's going to be a problem.
Okay, well, on that note,
what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, wanted to let everyone know that voice of the podcast, Andrea Marchant, has a...
She has a show. She's a wonderful... She's the voice you hear before you hear our voice.
Exactly. And she's the thing that prepares you for whatever the hell this is. She herself has a new show called That's Good News. It's a YouTube show. She released the first episode. And it's kind of wonderful and sweet and touching and everything that Andrea Marchant is. So we highly recommend that you check it out.
It's the exact opposite of what we are.
So there you go. If you need a palate cleanser, that's where to go. So we have the link posted up on our Facebook page, which, by the way, you should all like and tell people to do the same. And while you're there, go ahead and, you know, check out Andrea Marchant's. That's Good News.
She's good stuff. And who's the sponsor this week?
Well, this week's episode is brought to you by Fear, Panic, Anxiety, and Depression. Life would be terrible without all these things.
And I'd like to say that just maybe an hour ago, I was going through all those emotions.
Yeah. So, and 2 hours ago, I was going through all those emotions. But here we are.
On the show this week, The Purge asks the question, if we could kill somebody and get away with it, would we? Europe is doing some weird music festival. Sean, I think you're going to tell us all about it. And The Enemy is an act that I enjoy, but may have to stop doing because it nearly killed one of our greatest actors. But first, as you may remember from last week's show, we told you we were going to be joined by the wonderful comedian Sharon Houston, who once canceled on us and then rescheduled with us.
How'd that go?
Well, she canceled again. But we are very excited and very happy and very thankful to have with us tonight. He is a video director, music video director. He is fantastic, and he is Tim Thompson.
Hello.
Welcome. Good,
glad to be here.
Thank you for letting us into your home, for carving out a little bit of time for us, and generally just being very amenable.
No, thank you. No problem. You guys are always welcome.
Oh, that's a dangerous thing to say. Other people have said it and have lived to regret it.
Well, before we jump into everything, let's let the people know who you are. So are you from Los Angeles?
No, I'm actually, I grew up in, like, Salinas area, you know, like, northern,
Central
California. Steinbeck. We call it Northern California. Okay. Northern Californians.
Listen, like, anything north of Bakersfield is Northern California.
Yeah.
But yeah, Salinas, where John Steinbeck's from.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've been to the Steinbeck Museum multiple times.
Hometown hero.
Yeah, he is.
Local boy does good.
Yeah, we all had to read, like, The Pearl, you know, in high school.
Were you a fan
so
of?
We.
And Grapes of Wrath and all that. I didn't like The Pearl so much. I love The Grapes of Wrath. I think it's a great book.
I was never a big Steinbeck guy.
You know what? I read East of Eden, which is one of my... It's a phenomenal book, and I think it's better than... Grapes of Wrath is a more important book, but I think East of Eden is a more effective book.
The first 100 pages
book.
Of East of Eden are, like, so dark and, like, interesting. Like, I think...
With the fucked-up prostitute mother?
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, two effed-up
like,
kids.
Like, almost all that's cut out of the movie.
Well, you know, sad. James Dean couldn't be the son of a whore.
Well, I mean, no, she is. I mean, she still is.
Yeah, but they clean it up.
They don't go into her past.
They haze coat it.
Well, Ron
whatever.
Howard for years has been wanting to remake that movie.
He should, because I think the beginning is... To me, the story of the mother, like, all her life is, like, way more interesting than...
Yeah, and it's a weird book because you have two parallel stories. One is 100% made up, and then one is loosely based on Steinbeck's own family, and those chapters are less interesting,
well,
I feel.
Well, now that we've broke down East of Eden for our listeners...
Sorry.
Well, what brought you then here to Los Angeles?
Well, I've always been interested in movies and making movies and directing things. Ever since I was in high school, I've been directing stuff, so I always thought it was a natural progression. I went to college, and then I came down to Brooks Institute, which is like in Ventura.
Okay.
And from there, I moved down here and just, you know, worked as a PA and found that one of the ways that I could continue to be creative and continue to make projects was to get in touch with bands and do music videos, because that's actually the one thing that you can direct in Hollywood that you don't have to pay for yourself.
Interesting.
The bands will pay for
the bands will front the money.
Front the money for the video, so you still get to be creative.
Right.
You still get to direct stuff, but it's probably the easiest way, I would say, at least for me, it was the easiest way to break in.
Now, when you go to a band about a video, I mean, does the band, how much of it is your vision for the video, and how much is the band's? Like, what's that balance?
It's totally unique per project. Like, each project is totally different. Like, sometimes the band will come to me and say, hey, we have this idea for a video like this.
Right.
You know, sometimes I've even been in meetings where I sit down and the artist is just like,
This is
going to happen, then this is going to happen, then we're going to do a scene with this. Because, like, we worked with this one artist, a really weird guy, and his wife would, like, create all the costumes for him.
Okay.
So he's like, I'm going to have the costume, and it's going to look like this, and we're going to be in this scenario.
And then you have to work around it, and then at that point you're just, not a technician, it's a little too reductive, but you're kind of servicing the band or the artist's vision.
Yeah, I mean, but they couldn't, like, kind of create what the visual,
right.
They just don't know how to do that. Like, he knows, because his wife does costumes, he knows how to do all the costume stuff, but he doesn't really.
Do you ever get an idea from a band, like, they're so like we want to do this, and in your head you're like, oh, fuck, we can't do this.
All the time.
Not for the money, you're planning.
Absolutely.
To, yeah.
All the time. It's like...
And then we're going to have F-16s just fly
over
the
stadium.
Yeah,
they either come up with concepts that are way too, like, big budget for what the money they want. They're like, and can we do it for $300?
Like, no. Now, what are some of the bands that you've...
I've worked with a lot of people. I've worked with MC Lars, who I know was a guest on your podcast.
Former
before.
Guest of the podcast, yes.
I'm actually really close friends with him. We sort of knew each other since we were young kids and our roommates, you know.
Yeah.
I've worked with Real Big Fish. I just did a video for them.
What was the song?
Sell Out With Me Tonight.
Yeah. Sell Out With Me. Oh, yeah.
I was a big fan of theirs in high school. And I used to go Less Than Jake, Real Big Fish. Every time they were in town, just I've seen them live. I don't know, a dozen times. Yeah. And we used to go and just get stupid at their concerts.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's happy music.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
You can't not smile while listening to Real Big Fish.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? They're great guys to work with. I really enjoyed working with them. And, you know, we only budgeted for really, like, one day of shooting. So it was, like, really tough to do it one day. But they were all really amiable and really nice.
All 47 members of the band?
Yeah.
That's what we do with ska bands. It's just... You know, it's like a block party up there. They got people that are just dancing. They're like hype men that are just.
I remember there was that guy in the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. He just danced.
Yeah,
just danced.
Yeah. And a lot of you got a horn section. It's like a symphony up there.
And we had lots of extras for that. We had like almost like 50 extras.
And you said this was a recent video.
Yeah, this was around the end of last year.
Okay.
What was the song? What was the concept?
It's called "Don't Stop Skanking," and it was kind of like a fan video.
Never have.
What?
Never have.
Never have. You got to keep skanking, man, and like. That's what the video was. It was basically we got a bunch of fans in this place called the Cowtown Dance Center. It's in Riverside. It's just this basically this place where they do square dancing on the
weekend.
And so we went in there and we just had a bunch of fans and just we did like a Soul Train line and just had the fans dance and like to me that was the best part of the video. And that was mostly their concept. They were like, we kind of want to do like a fan video where the fans come and dance.
And then the F-16s flew over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I've heard, and I've also seen a little bit of this as well, that you like a lot of stop motion stuff.
Yeah,
like
I've done quite a bit of stop motion.
Now, how long does that... That must take...
Yeah, it takes
ever.
A long time. But, like, a lot of people... And I think it's something nobody ever talks about when they talk about stop motion. Everybody talks about, oh, how long it takes. Oh, it's so tedious and stuff like that. But it's a lot more relaxing than shooting, like, a like a live action video. Like the Real Big Fish video was like really stressful because
dealing with people, dealing with
logistics, and
you know, when I'm doing stop animation, I'm right over there. I'm on my table, you know, I can put on what records I want to listen to. You know, there's no sound to worry about. You can just kind of sit there and just kind of, you know, work with your hands. It's quiet. You know, you can, if you want to get up and have a sandwich or something.
So you've managed to find a niche of the film industry where not only do other people pay for things to get made, but you get to do it in the quiet comfort of your own home.
Oh,
and don't have
great.
To deal with people.
I really enjoy it. I mean, it takes a long time and it's a lot of work, but it's I think it's worth it.
Well, you know, so Ray Harryhausen just died recently, the
tragic.
Sort of the father. Well, I mean, he's an old man. He had a rich life.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I think
20.
He should have just kept living forever. I love that man.
Well, you know, you could do stuff with his corpse on video and
yeah.
one little micro movement
little,
at a time.
Yeah, you know, he should probably donate his body to the
that
motion picture
stop motion.
To the Hollywood Museum that's coming to L.A. He should just donate his body.
Get
and
ready for
be...
Weekend at Bernie's 3. All stop motion with Ray Harryhausen's corpse.
So you were a big fan of his.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
yeah,
I feel great. Like if you're into stop motion, I think there's no way you can ignore him. Like, you could, like, try to, but you wouldn't be able to for long.
Be foolish to.
You'd be foolish. Absolutely.
I like that. I like, you know, I like that you're doing stop motion because it's, you know, practical effects. It's the stuff
sure.
that we've gotten a little too far away from, which is upsetting.
Well, you know, you see a movie now that uses practical effects. It's like, what is this wizardry? This doesn't look right. So, but yeah, so is that something that a lot of people do, or you're kind of
well in
one
music
of the
videos
few?
I feel like a lot of people do stop motion, and I think rightfully so, because stop motion is just one of those places where it still looks interesting, and if
right.
you're doing like a music video, it's still it's a way to make your video look a little bit more expensive.
And also videos are, I feel like music videos have always been a really great place to experiment.
Absolutely.
I mean, I remember growing up, and just always the most interesting things were what they were trying in music videos.
Yeah, they're sort of a testing ground for a lot of like effects. In fact, commercials and music videos, if you watch, like they sort of start out with like a lot of like the strange effects or the strange techniques that you sort of sometimes make their way into movies, and they usually start there.
Well, like Tony Scott and Ridley Scott directed hundreds of video music, but commercials and music,
yeah,
more commercials though. But they would try out Tony Scott in particular. Anything that he was planning on his next film, he would kind of test out on a couple commercials or music videos and try to just get a handle on the technology or whether this would work or not before putting it into a $100 million film.
Now, I gotta ask then, what are some of your like favorite videos? Like, what's a video that like inspired you, like, or something like that?
Well, for some reason, I've always like rewatched the Tool video for Stinkfist.
I had a feeling you were gonna say something Tool.
Yeah, well, they just did so much stop motion.
Yeah,
I mean, I really love Sledgehammer, the Peter Gabriel.
Oh yeah,
video.
That's a classic.
I mean, that's like, because that sort of highlights everything that I love about stop motion, which is like combining people in stop motion.
One of my favorite all-time videos was Smashing Pumpkins Tonight Tonight, because of
absolutely.
The whole...
Absolutely.
I remember
Watt
when I
White,
saw...
Watt White did all the like effects for that.
Oh, really?
You know Watt White? He's like the guy who...
From Breaking Bad?
Not Walter White. It's it's like the guy who did all the Pee-wee's Big Adventure... Playhouse.
Yeah.
He did the design for all of the things. He's also, I don't know if you guys know, but Fred 62. Have you guys heard of Fred 62? It's a restaurant in
Los
Feliz.
Yeah.
All the art on the wall where it's like those, with the words, like those word paintings, that's him.
Oh, wow.
And so he did all the stuff for Tonight, like the blimp and stuff like that.
Yeah, all that stuff. And I loved it because I think it also came out at a time where I was learning a lot about the silent films that it was clearly based on and stuff like that.
I mean, like, yeah, Trip to the Moon is awesome. And
yeah.
I think that video is almost like a yes and to Trip to the Moon. I mean, I feel like the video is just as good, if not better, than Trip to the Moon. I mean,
see,
I know that might be blasphemy to say.
I grew up in a house without... Well, we had cable television for a little while, and then my parents canceled it, and they blamed the first Gulf War.
Oh, wow.
To this day, I'm still not quite sure what the connection was there. So I didn't really have MTV growing up. I didn't watch music
videos. They had to make sacrifices.
They did, yeah,
because
of Kuwait. So I grew up without MTV, and I didn't come to a lot of these things till much later. So when it comes to music videos, I have not seen most of them. I guess now on YouTube, it's very easy for me to catch up, but I just never saw them growing up. I kind of came to movies later through, you know, more traditional route. So when people discuss all these classic videos, I'm like, oh.
Well, you know what? I mean, I not to digress too much, but like, I feel very similar in a lot of ways because I mean, my parents, we had TV, but not really. We had like local cable, and then we had like my parents didn't get like a VCR till I was like 12.
Oh,
okay.
You know what I mean? And I, at that point, I wasn't allowed to watch anything above a PG.
Yeah, same with me.
Until I was like 15. You know, my parents were very strict on what movies I could watch and what movies I couldn't watch. So as soon as I turned 17 and I could rent whatever movies I wanted from the corner video store, which is called US Video at the time. Video stores are now almost non-existent.
Ours was Video 9.
Yeah. And, you know, and these were VHS. You know, I'd go get the VHS tapes, you know, and like the guy behind the counter would have all suggestions. I'd be like, I was like, oh, I love Evil Dead. And he's like, oh, man, you got to see Reanimator. You've never seen Reanimator? And he'd, like, give me Reanimator. And, like, I'd check out all these really weird movies. So, like, when I finally turned 17, I kind of went crazy, and I started just absorbing everything that I was not...
everything that
I would. That I wasn't, you know, that I was denied young when I was younger.
I was kind of the same way. I didn't discover movies till later, and then I just...
I've said this on the show before. I was watching like Taxi Driver at like age 10, so I'm the exact opposite, and I'm completely well adjusted.
Yeah, you know, and clearly. I know, a lot of my friends were like that way. Like they'd watch Terminator, you know, like that, and like I'd see like a clip of it at their house, and then my parents would come and pick me up, and they'd be like, "What are you watching?" And they get really mad at me.
So they make you stir to the thing from Men in Black.
Well, yeah. No, they would just put me in my room.
Now, before we move on to some of our topics of the week, I know you can't really say too much about this, but you're working with someone now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much I can say, but I am working on something with a famous parody artist that we all are aware of.
A very
prolific parody artist.
Parody artist. Okay.
I just don't.
We don't want to put you on the
how
spot,
much I can say about it.
But we'll be looking for it.
Yeah, you know, and it's going to be really cool. It's also stop animation, but it does have. I did film with him, and
so it's a him.
Yes.
Okay.
And, it's a famous male parody artist.
who could it be? But it's and that should be coming out. I don't know. In the coming months, and it's gonna be really cool. I'm working on it right now, and it's shaping up very interesting.
So as soon as we have details, we will post it on the site, like we do.
And if you don't know who we're talking about, you're an idiot. But did this person seek you out because of your stop motion?
Yeah, he actually saw a video I did for MC Lars, actually, called "This Gigantic Robot Kills," which is like a stop motion where the kid opens up his like notebook and goes through the notebook, and he basically emailed Andrew, because they had worked together on a song once, and he emailed him, and he was like, "Hey, do you know Tim Thompson? I want to work with him on one of my new videos." So it was just very surreal day. It was a good day.
Now, where can the people go to see your videos? Is there a site? Do you have a site up or a YouTube or something?
I definitely have a YouTube, which is just my Movies Tim is my YouTube handle, and I'm working on getting my website up. I've been scolded for not having one up, so I guess I should get going on that. But all my videos are online and available.
And if you are a good listener of the podcast, you have already seen these videos because we have a link to them up on our Facebook page.
So there you have it.
Nice. So there you have it. So great. You want to try to talk about some of this shit going on in the world of popular culture?
Sure. I heard you guys had some interesting ideas, like you guys were talking about The Purge, I think.
Yes.
And
Look at that setup. I love it.
The Purge looks interesting. I knew nothing about it until I was like going to see a movie and I saw the trailer come up and I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I was like wondering what it was about. And I was like, oh, it's kind of an interesting concept. And you got Ethan Hawke in there, and I was like, okay, so.
Lena Headey. People love Lena Headey.
Yeah.
From 300.
Yes.
Isn't she
Game of Thrones?
Yeah,
that's right.
Game of Thrones.
I mean, people love her from 300 and hate her from Game of Thrones.
Exactly. Well, let me say this with The Purge, because I saw the trailer for this movie, and for some reason, like, because I agree, totally interesting concept.
For those who don't know, the concept of The Purge is that everything is wonderful in America. Unemployment's down to 1%. There's no crime, but there is this government-imposed, I don't know, Saturnalia, where once a year for 12 hours, everyone is—it's free rein on crime, anyone can commit any crime they want without any repercussions, so you just kind of get it out of everyone's system. And you have this nice family that puts their house on lockdown to get through the 12 hours, and their idiot daughter lets in some desperate-looking man out on the street who's running from some pursuers. He gets
in
the house.
And now they're all going to die.
Yeah, now the house is under siege, you know, like Precinct 13 style.
Well, you know what's funny? Because I saw the trailer, and it was something that actually, although the concept is interesting, that somewhat upset me about it. And maybe I'm being like a Pollyanna about this, but I really believe, like, if this were a real thing, that people wouldn't engage in it. Like, I want to believe that people are inherently good, or at least not murderous.
Well, did you yeah, maybe. Did you hear about the guy who robbed a bank and apparently had heard the radio ad on his radio?
Wait, for The Purge?
For The Purge, and said, I thought it was legal. I thought I could go ahead. Hey, that was his defense.
It's like the modern Twinkie defense.
It's ridiculous.
Oh my God, I want to follow that trial. I want to be on that
jury. So you won't... Even get me started on juries. I don't want to hear that word again.
That could be just total like hearsay, but I heard that there was a man who tried to rob a bank and
you have
that.
Heard it here on the Will Show, but this is fact. It has happened. Well, let me ask you this, Tim. If this were a thing, would you commit any crimes? Would you go out there and commit a crime?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like incriminate myself, but I might steal a few things.
I need some shit.
But the thing is, if you go out there, you're out there with the murderers.
And
here's the thing. If I owned a business or if I were a bank
risk,
and I knew that it was...
Risk versus reward.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you knew that, you know, oh, they're going to take your shit tonight, like I would imagine that all the places with the money and the good stuff would be locked down.
Oh, sure.
It's more... I would imagine it'd be more like violent crimes. Like people would break into cars and... It's kind of a brilliant idea because... You could protect yourself against it.
But
what are you going to get away with?
I can't
be
protect
some
myself
dead
against
idiots
it.
Out on the streets.
I can't protect myself. I don't have the money to... People come in and they'll murder me. Because let me tell you what, I got a target on my back.
No, people would get together and they would protect themselves.
Now, what I want to know is, like, I think... I feel like the movie is, like, a missed opportunity. Because, like, yeah, it's just... It kind of has devolved into this, basically, this kind of, like... home invasion thriller.
Right, it seems like they're taking a great concept but reducing it just
down
to, like...
Yeah, because it's such a brilliant sci-fi concept.
You want to see what's going on in the world.
Because, like, think of it, because, like, could somebody, like, have, like a death car that they work on all year, you know, with, like, blades on it and stuff like that, and they just go riding around the streets, like, mowing people down? Like, would it be illegal to, like, be working on your death car during the year? It's like, well, I'm just saving it for The Purge. You know, would it be, like, a thing where, like, they interview people, like, what are you going to do for The Purge? Like...
Those would be all the news stories.
Yeah,
I'm going to kill a bunch of
motherfuckers. Don't see The Purge, because clearly they went with the wrong story.
Yeah. And so how does crime work? Does, like, if you admit that you're going to commit crimes on The Purge, is, like, that taboo?
I think there's a kind of this... It's kind of Darwinism of the reason you wouldn't just go out there and murder is because then you need to operate within a society afterwards, and you would be shunned. You would be, like... Well, I mean...
Well, yeah, you wouldn't get in actual, you know... trouble from the government or from the authorities,
but if I know you, like, raped and murdered a bunch of women, Sean, on the Purge night, then...
Things may be awkward the next morning.
Yeah, I'm gonna really have to question if we can continue
this
podcast.
Or if you kill your neighbor's dog, you know, the dog that you hate that yaps all night, you know, you go over there and just shoot it in the face, and then you gotta, like, go to work with him the next day, like, oh, so how was the Purge? Oh, you know, like, you guys gotta, like, deal with that. And, like, is he, like, wait till next Purge, because I'm gonna,
welcome,
like...
Welcome to every single one of my one-night stands.
We
call them the Purges.
Do we all agree that none of us would actually murder anyone?
Am I being held to this?
I don't know. I can't say for sure because I don't know what situation, you know, would, like, because maybe there that year maybe something horrible.
Somebody really pissed you off.
I'd rather go for money than kill someone, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what most people would do, but I think you guys are right that, like, because, like, if you've seen the trailer, you know that they have those big, like, steel doors that come down. I feel like if an upscale family can have those steel doors, I'm sure, like, you know, JCPenney and Chase Bank are going to have big, you know, walls of protection.
Yeah, no one's knocking over a bank door. It's just people killing each other in the streets.
That's pretty much what it's going to devolve.
But what
would stop them? My question is, what would stop them? Let's say they just get on that high of just murdering, like... Wouldn't, like, there be a lot of, like, I guess splash damage from that? Like, you know,
well,
like...
They got the taste of blood.
They got the taste of blood, and so for a few weeks after the Purge, there's a bunch of crimes being committed. Yeah, they get arrested, but, like, I feel like it might not be the best idea.
Maybe we should watch the movie and see how they handle all these questions.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they
address
some of these.
go see The Purge this weekend and then go out and kill.
That's your my... Uncle Will is telling you to.
I would like to think that that guy who I was speaking about earlier that I had hate for.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that I wouldn't murder him during The Purge because I think I'm a moral person. However, if someone else were to murder him during The Purge, I wouldn't shed a tear. So, you know.
Well, you could at that point, you could hire somebody.
I'm spending the money. I'm going to have to
Is it illegal to hire somebody before The Purge? To hire a hitman?
I don't think so. I think you could have a deal in place for
as
the
long
purge.
As it's on that
as
date.
As long as the act happens
between
in that 12 hours.
Midnight and 12 and 12 the next
whenever
morning.
It is, whenever it goes. Well, maybe I'm wrong about The Purge.
Okay.
Now, there was this big, crazy music festival in Europe called Eurovision.
Not quite a music festival.
What is it? What is it? Sean, explain what this is.
It's been around since 1956.
This is the first I'm hearing about it.
Basically, every country in Europe has a representative musical act, and they have this massive competition where all the acts get together and they perform hip-hop songs from their countries, and then the countries get to vote. You can't vote for your own country's entry, but then the countries all vote, and then they are crowned a winner of Eurovision, and it's just like, it's a glorious celebration of terrible Europop. And
is it all Europop?
It's all European countries, and you know, it's brought us such acts as ABBA and Celine Dion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ABBA was, that's how they gave him a breakout success, was Waterloo, won the Eurovision contest.
Oh, I like ABBA enough.
Yeah, and you know, if you watch these videos, it's just awful Europop with ridiculous costumes, and all the songs have to be in English, so everyone's got these weird accents, or the translations of the song titles are just slightly off because they're translating from Latvian or Azerbaijanian. So
nice.
So it's wonderful trash.
Now, someone from Denmark won this.
Yes, for a song that wasn't very good.
No, we listened to it earlier.
What's it called?
Teardrops, Raindrops, I don't know.
So Teardrops, Raindrops? Maybe it's like Teardrops, Ellipses,
It just
raindrops.
Wasn't very catchy. Some of the other songs were much catchier than this one. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you had an idea about this, though.
We should do this in America. We should take the very different music of all 50 states, like the music of Delaware, you know, versus the music of,
Alaska.
Well, they probably have some interesting, Inuit thing going on. But all different music from around America.
Well, we love our American idols and our voices and our America's Got Talent. Why not, you know, take this to the logical conclusion?
I feel like that would just, stir up, can I say shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have we not cursed
I probably
yet?
Said shit like 5 times already. I feel like that would just stir up shit between states because we already have these big competitions. You know, Georgia and Tennessee, I think, always go at it, and Georgia and Florida, and I feel like that would just be another thing where it's like our states.
You know what's gonna happen? We're gonna have these assholes in the South with the Confederate flags screaming about, you know, the South shall rise again, and you know, wanting to redress the Great War of Northern Aggression.
Which it might. I'm not saying the South could
through
rise
song,
again
through Dixie
and
songs,
and that would be terrifying. But
if the South did rise again, just let them go. Just cut them loose.
At this point, who needs union?
They're not doing anything good for us at this point. That's right, Southern listeners of the Will Sean Podcast. You come to California before this happens. Otherwise, you're dead to me. You're gone. I'm cutting
Now, with California, I mean, does it matter how many people you have in your state? Do you get more bands per thing, or is it one band
no,
per
it's
state?
One,
no, it's just like the Senate. How, no matter how big your state is or your population, you only get the same amount.
But who? But there's so many bands from, who would, how would you pick?
I want to hear what the native music of Rhode Island is. That's what
I
want
to
know.
Well, it has to be native?
Well, here's the thing. The way it works in Eurovision is that usually one television network from each country, and it's usually the national public station, kind of sponsors the band. So you'd have to have, I think we'd have to get NPR involved in this, because they have local affiliates in each state. I guess you'd have to have the NPR affiliate from each state would have to put forward a local band or local music.
Well, I know that for motion pictures, when they nominate them for the Academy Awards, it's the country nominates the movie that they think should go to the Academy Awards.
So each state would get to decide who's their native son.
Yeah, it's just I feel like America I don't know if we'd be able to decide, you know, whatever band got to represent each state. I feel like very few states would be happy with their choice.
Oh, it'd be a fucking mess.
Yeah, everyone would... Rhode Island. This is what you get. You play you got to play the hand you're dealt.
Yeah, like whoever came from Rhode Island and started playing music in Rhode Island.
Everyone would hate this.
Except wait, California.
You know what? Actually, wait a second.
Huh?
They've got a big problem at American Idol right now. It's like its ratings are going down.
Yeah.
It's just old and stale. Why not revitalize it this way? Pick a idol from each state.
That's
kind of like you do Miss America.
Yeah,
have an idol from each state and have them. I mean, the show would go on. Maybe I don't know. I don't know the logistics of doing, but there's a way to do this.
Sure.
And then you have them kind of compete against each other.
Better idea. Now, on one day out of the year, all those contestants are able to fight to the death.
Yes. On one for 12 hours.
Now, that's a good movie.
Yeah. They sing for 12 hours and they fight for 12 hours. It's a Hunger Game, American Idol Hunger Games.
Song.
Why?
Well, with song, because they're going to sing.
Yeah, they got to sing, you know.
It's a musical version of
Hunger
Games.
And then whoever gets voted off, then they just give them swords and...
Yeah. I like
that. Maybe a more ridiculous weapon than that, but...
Well, you know.
Microphones. They're instrument of choice. So if they play the piano or they play...
They have to kill someone with the piano. They have to drop
the
piano.
The flautist
Pete Townsend would do very well, I think, with that.
He would. Pete Townsend. Too bad he's not American.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he could join the Euro.
Is there anyone left in Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yeah.
They'll fly a plane into the...
Too soon.
Yes. Well, look, this isn't going to happen, but I think I'm on something with this American Idol idea.
Yeah.
Get me in a room. Get me to pitch this. Who's the Simon? It's not Simon Cowell anymore. Who is it? It's
Simon Garfunkel.
It's Simon. Get me in a room with Simon Garfunkel to pitch this new American Idol thing. I've gone from thinking this is a terrible idea to thinking this is fucking great, and we're geniuses, and we should do this. The three of us should produce this. You've already got. You know bands.
Yeah, I could. I could get a few.
And you know, we
make 50 stop motion music videos for this.
Jeez.
Yeah, that'll be the. I am all about this. It's done. We're amazing. But
yes,
much like in life, we have to move on.
Sure.
And interesting thing happened this week. Michael Douglas, one of our great actors,
Academy Award winning actor,
just killed it in that Liberace movie. I don't know if you saw Behind the Candelabra.
No, I've been meaning to.
It's fantastic.
I have HBO Go. I should be watching.
Check it out. It's great. You know, nobody can fuck Matt Damon like Michael Douglas. Let me tell you what. It's phenomenal. But, you know, he we're lucky that he was able to make this movie because he was sick for a very long time.
Yes.
He got throat cancer. And, you know, we've been wondering how did he get throat cancer?
Cigarettes.
He didn't. Cigarettes now. Apparently not a big smoker. How did this all happen? And he finally told us this week that he got cancer because he got HPV, and HPV gave him cancer. Well, how did he get this? Oral sex. Michael Douglas, from having oral sex, got HPV, and it almost killed him. So now this is my big problem here. I love oral sex. I love... You know why? Because this is the one move I know I have that I'm good at. I may suck in every other sexual thing. I don't, but I could. But either way, I can back it up with... I'm good at this one thing. It's all I've got. I go to this move almost immediately, probably too soon, some would say. Probably shortly after the introduction, I go right for this move because, and now apparently this will kill me. This will kill me because I will contract HPV.
If you don't already have it.
If I don't already have it from all this oral sex. I find it's going to kill me. This is a new thing I got to worry about. I already got to worry about all these other sexually transmitted diseases. Now I got to worry about cancer. I have to worry about getting cancer. So it almost killed one of our great actors, and that's why you, Cunnilingus, are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
You just swear dental off
dams.
Sex and, yeah, join
dental
the
dams.
Dental dams.
That's no way to live.
Like an animal.
You know, if it's... death or dental dams.
Not just death, slow death.
I choose slow death. And you know what? I'll wear it as a badge of honor of all the
You'll
going
have to wear it as a badge
because
you won't be able to talk.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Of all the going down on... But they'll know. The women will still be, he must have been...
He must have been good.
In
he
his
must
day.
Because he had a lot of oral
sex. Now, do we know if he contracted this from Catherine Zeta-Jones? Because Michael Douglas was known for having sexaholism. Is that the word?
He was a sexaholic.
Yes.
Now, Anonymous.
Now, women can get that shot. You know what I mean? You know, have you heard about
women
this?
Women can get it. You mean women can get... Sorry, verb subject disagreement there. women can get a vaccine
get this,
for that. Women can get that shot. yes.
Well, yeah. They can get the vaccine.
They can
get,
it, yes, and it takes care of... Because it keeps them from contracting cervical cancer.
So if it keeps them, couldn't there be something for men so that they could get a shot before they go down?
Can't I get a shot before next time I go down on a woman? Be like, excuse me, I just need to...
I think we should tweet at Dr. Drew and get the answers.
But aren't there some crazy people like Rick Perry who don't want women to get these shots or something like that? So we're fucked. Again, the South is fucking us. Now they're fucking with my oral sex. So, what's going on with Catherine Zeta-Jones' vagina?
I don't know. I mean, do we know that it was positively her vagina?
I am going with it's the place men go to die. That's what
Catherine
I'm going
Catherine Zeta-Jones' vagina?
Yes.
Why? Oh.
Because he got oral gore. You listen to this.
I mean, but Michael Douglas was a famous actor.
He's been around.
He's probably been around.
How do we know that's not what Sharon Stone was warning us of in Basic Instinct?
That's true.
Yeah.
It wasn't a come on. It was a beware.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. I'm obviously not going to stop doing this.
Yeah.
So
you could join a monastery like Leonard Cohen.
No, this is not. None of this is going to work for me. I find this upsetting. I find this weird also because he gave this interview where he's like, I got it from oral sex. I got it from cunnilingus. And then he said, this was a weird thing. He said,
oh yeah, the second half.
Wait, do you know? You know the same quote. What's it?
That it's also the way you cure this.
Yes, the cause is also the cure.
What is it, a bit of the hair of the dog that bit you.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, is there some old wives' tale that involves the amount? Maybe it's like if you get cancer from cunnilingus, if you do it enough. Then it overrides it and it goes through and
see. I feel like when
you give it back.
Wait a second. Can I just
is
say,
it like how you'd inoculate with a little bit of smallpox back? They put a little bit in there to inoculate you.
Can I go around saying I've got throat cancer from going down on women? So the cure is I need to go down on more women and just get women to let me go down on them. Is this a scheme?
This is what reminds me of when Congress wanted to have the panel on women's reproductive health. They got a bunch of men, and they interviewed a bunch of men to discuss women's reproductive health. That's what's going on right here.
Well, if people have a problem with that, they should contact Sharon Houston, who canceled on us, a woman who has a vagina, who we could have
allegedly
talked to her about this, and said we have vaginaless Tim.
I am unfortunately
without that
short
orifice,
a vagina.
Also,
or two.
By the way, this is the perfect topic because this is episode 69 of the podcast.
Yeah.
So just so happened that Michael
Douglas gave us this topic. I don't mean to step on your guys' toes here, but it sort of goes both ways. You know what I mean? If a dude has HPV and a girl goes down on him, she can as well contract HPV get cancer. She can also get cervical cancer after intercourse.
Get your shots. stop going down on anyone, I guess, is the moral of this. And, this is a tongue-in-cheek enemy.
No, it's a tongue in
something else enemy. But I mean, because honestly, yeah, you're absolutely right on that in reality. I encourage everyone to, go down on women. You know, these people who say they fuck you.
No, do it the way God intended, in the dark, with the door closed, lights off, with a condom, silently.
And a sheet with a hole in it, right?
Depends which god.
Well, you might even not need them after the new origami condoms come out. Have you heard about these?
No.
No.
They basically, it's this new design. They're flat, and you put them over, and they have a little little circular barrier to sort of cover much of the area surrounding the base. Rather than just having to roll it down, it actually fits on a lot nicer, and apparently it is better for sensation as well.
Hey now, origami condom.
This just sounds complicated.
It does. They're not out yet, but
regular condom is complicated enough.
Actually, this is. But that's the whole point of this condom. Is it supposed to make things more simple, easier to put on?
Can I do it while I'm crying?
Probably.
Okay, then we're good.
Okay, I'm all about this. I'm all about trying new things, people. Origami condoms. No condom. New things.
Right. And that you can contact him at the Real Will Link at Twitter.
Yeah. And we can discuss all this.
Jeez.
Sorry, Andrea.
Before we wrap up this vagina fueled fest. Taco Bell. We live in Southern California. This is very exciting.
Very.
Because Taco Bell, here in SoCal, as the kids call it, is testing out a new breakfast taco, a waffle taco.
Wow.
This is sausage and eggs wrapped in a waffle. And they also, they give you a syrup packet, or you can use their hot sauce. Whatever you choose. They already have the monopoly on the fourth meal, and now they want breakfast. And Taco Bell, I mean, would you try this thing? Because, I mean, it's just regular breakfast food ingredients.
I mean, I suppose I'd try it, though I haven't always been rewarded after trying a Taco Bell.
A new product?
A Taco Bell promotional product, no. I haven't always been.
Well, here's the thing. Sean, you were saying this about Taco Bell. It's about these new products.
Well, yeah. Well, Taco Bell recently came out with the Doritos Locos Tacos, of which you've.
I've had the new Cool Ranch one, which is better than the traditional nacho cheese one.
Yeah, I had the nacho. Was not.
I wasn't impressed.
Wasn't very happy. So I was reticent to try. That was my neighbor's.
That's fine.
I was reticent to try the Cool Ranch. But if on your recommendation...
The Cool Ranch is better.
Well, they've claimed that because of this Doritos Locos Tacos, they've had such an uptick in sales, they've had to add thousands of jobs nationwide to Taco Bell's. And basically, because of this Taco Bell, they're fueling the economic recovery. the engine of the of the next 10 years of this country is on the backs of Doritos.
And you know what?
Tacos.
They're not even using all beef. It's like oat protein mostly. So it's like they're even using less beef.
Look at this. I'll tell you what, Taco Bell, we've talked about this on the show before, and I think Taco Bell, I have had a new love affair with Taco Bell recently, because in college I ate a lot of Taco Bell because I had no money, and I was just like...
Drunk all the time.
Yeah. And I'm wandering, it's like 3 a.m., I'm wandering the streets of Manhattan, and I didn't know what to do, and I had no money, and the only thing at home I had was ramen noodles, and for like a couple bucks I got Taco Bell. And then I kind of got away from Taco Bell, but recently I've really come back into the fold. I've been a big...
No pun intended.
I've been a big fan of their loaded grillers, the little like appetizer things. I think they're great. And Taco Bell has brought back my all-time favorite Taco Bell product for a limited time. And God damn it, I want to make it full-time. The Beefy Crunch Burrito. I am a huge fan of this product. It is just beef and cheese and sour cream and rice and spicy Fritos all wrapped up in a burrito.
Yeah, I saw that the other day, and I just imagined the heartburn, and I decided to stay away.
When I was in college, I walked into a Taco Bell in Berkeley. There was a woman in there who was so morbidly obese, she barely fit into two...
Barely fat.
Barely fit into two chairs, and I saw that, and I walked right out, and I don't think I walked into a Taco Bell for like 10 years after.
If you judge a place by the clientele, if people judged Walmart by the clientele, I mean, no one would ever.
I always just say that in any city in America, if you just shake the city, all the shit that sifts out and falls out through the cracks lands in the nearest McDonald's. Because you walk in there and it's just the detritus. Like, how did you all end up here?
I never eat McDonald's.
Well, you're a better man.
You know what? I did recently, but it was because I was really hungry. I recently took my first vacation I've ever taken. I went to Hawaii.
Oh.
And I went to McDonald's there. I didn't know this. McDonald's does regional cuisine.
So they have, what, a piece of pineapple?
Well, no. I mean, like, but in Hawaii, it would be Spam and rice.
Interesting.
And so they have a Spam, like a local breakfast there. And I thought that was interesting. I was like, this is kind of interesting. But Hawaii is a weird place. I mean, you can get
Hawaii's a weird place.
You can get the best Spam and rice, apparently, from the 7-Eleven.
The ABC store.
It's like, yeah.
the ABC stores. They have three on every street corner.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what our president grew up eating.
Yeah, it is. It is. So it's not. I guess it's not. You know, it's not bad for your brain.
It's good for enough for Obama.
It's good enough for.
But I want to elect the first president who grew up eating lots of Taco Bell.
Well, maybe Villaraigosa's got nothing going on now, so maybe he'll be running.
The Taco Bell president. That's racist.
That's awful.
Why'd I say that?
You're racist. Well, hey, save it for the purge.
But Taco Bell's uniquely American, though.
It is. It's very American.
It's as American as apple pie and GM.
It's probably more so.
It probably is, actually.
I think the only two fast food places I eat at are Taco Bell and In-N-Out. And that's about it.
Yeah.
That's really all I do, fast food.
And on that note.
Tim. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you
for
guys.
Coming on last minute, and honestly, all the videos and everything, it all just sounds great what you're working on. Tell us again where they can find your stuff.
Right now you can find my stuff at my YouTube page is Movies Tim, and that's where I post all my the music videos I work on, and I make sure to mention the videos and that I've worked on, and yeah, and they can check them out there, and I will have a website coming soon. And
now, are you on Twitter?
I am, and that's same thing, Movies Tim.
At Movies Tim. Okay, and you'll when this website's up, you'll tweet like, "Hey, the website's up."
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
People could. Okay, so if you're out there, check him out on YouTube, and then go follow him on Twitter. So then, when he inevitably gets it up,
well,
you'll know.
I will give it up. That's.
Are we still talking about the HTV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. You'll know. You'll get all those updates. Okay, Sean, plug away.
You can follow me at Twitter at TheSeanDavid. Also, buy and read my book. Available
just
on
buy
Amazon.
It.
Well, just buy it, honestly. Available at Amazon Kindle. It's called Triumvirs, Triumvirs. And I will be performing a humorous essay next Thursday night, June 13th, at Shetty's. At 3rd in Fairfax at 8 p.m. So be there so you can laugh your ass off.
And you can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies and I try to communicate my thoughts on movies to people who don't really know what the hell I'm talking about. And you can also read movie reviews of mine at u1can.com, can like the city in France. And my latest review of the new Pedro Almodovar film will be up there. Did I like it? Did I not like it? Well, you're going to have to go to the website and find out. And also on June 13th, but don't listen to it on June 13th because Sean's got his show. Go to his show. But I'm going to be on the radio, on Shriekfest Radio, talking about the podcast, talking about, I guess, horror movie related stuff.
I wouldn't know. You're not going to be. I won't be there for the interview, so I don't know.
You won't be there.
Sounds good.
But that's also a podcast later, so you'll be able to listen to that, and we'll put a link for that up and everything. On the show.
A will link.
We will link you to it.
Is that before or after women get shot?
Ooh.
On the show next week, we're very excited, we bring on fellow podcasters. They host the Invitation to Love podcast, Nate Wagner and Alicia Camden. We're going to be Skyping them both in. That should work, right? Yeah, I'm sure it will. And they got a podcast about love and romance and things like that. So we're going to be talking to them. And then the week after that, we have a terrific comedy writer and an Australian, right? He's Australian.
Yeah, he's Australian.
Stephen Brandon will be on, and I want to talk to him about comedy and also maybe some of the differences between the comedy of Australia and the comedy of America, and it should be very interesting.
And for the Will Sean podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.